Welcome to the Sports Law Biz Podcast, dedicated to helping people better understand the law and business of sports. I'm your host, Peter Ott, and we've got a lot to talk about here today, so why don't we just jump in? Hello, this is Peter Ott with the Sports Law Biz Podcast. I'm here today with Francisco Cisco Terreros, a FIFA-registered intermediary slash agent and the chief marketing officer and the head of the global soccer division for SBX Group, a full-service sports, entertainment, and lifestyle marketing agency representing the careers of professional athletes and entertainment personalities, while also consulting for brands and owning and operating event properties. So it's good to have you here with us today, Cisco.
Thank you, Peter. Glad to be here.
Okay, so it sounds like you've got a lot going on from just the brief description I read there. So if you can give us a brief introduction, let us know, you know, anything that might be interesting about you and your path here.
For sure, yeah. I mean, we could start from the very beginning. I got my career started in the sports industry with the 2002 Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City, Utah. I was an intern for the marketing department. And I helped fulfill a lot of marketing partnerships for local sponsors. So as you can imagine, being an intern in such an intense property that was so anticipated in a place like Utah for so long, it was pretty exciting. And I think that's what got me interested in the industry. And thanks to that experience at the Olympics, I was able to secure a job with Major League Soccer's professional team, Real Salt Lake. At the time, Real Salt Lake was an expansion team, meaning it was the first time the team was going to be here the first year in Utah. And it was an opportunity I couldn't turn down, thanks to my old boss at the Olympics. He brought me over to Real Salt Lake. And at Real Salt Lake, we did it all, as you could imagine, being an expansion team. We did anything from ticket sales to sponsorships to marketing. I mean, we even, during games, because we used to play at the University of Utah, a football stadium, we used to have to downsize the stadium to make it MLS capacity, which was about 22,000. We did it all, man. It was a staff of maybe 30, 40 people. And so that really gave me a good foundation to build a very strong career in sports. After that, I worked in several different professional teams, agencies, as well as brands. I worked for the Columbus Crew. It was another Major League Soccer team. I worked for an agency called Dow Sports, based in San Antonio, Texas. I worked for Wells Fargo Bank in sports capacity, in some of the endorsements they do with the sports, specifically regionally in California. And in 2012, I founded OS Group, which is a sports and entertainment agency representing soccer players around the world and consulting brands and reaching their demographics through Hispanic marketing. And thanks to rapid success, reaching $500,000 in revenue within the first 6 months, my company was purchased by SBX Group, who retained me as a CMO, and I'm one of the heads of the firm. That kind of brings us up to date to where I am today. I guess another caveat, or not another caveat, but another interesting thing that I've done is in 2004, you know, I've always been a lover of soccer ever since I was a little kid. I'm an immigrant from Colombia, and I was in Colombia during a time of drug and war. And so soccer was always the thing that kept me away from all of that, and shielded me from that. So I wanted to always give back to the sport, so I founded HangingCleats.org, which is a nonprofit organization helping and teaching at-risk youth around the world to use soccer as a tool to overcome drugs and violence. And ever since then, we've donated over 10,000 soccer balls throughout various countries, and we're looking to do another mission here this summer in Mexico, in Quintana Roo, Mexico. So that's a brief bio of who I am and my sports career so far.
Okay, yeah, no, and it's quite a varied experience. You have a lot of different things that each would be an interesting, you know, discussion in themselves. It's a pretty varied experience with marketing, you know, working for teams, kind of event stuff, it sounded like earlier on, and now in athlete representation. How have those things kind of flowed from thing to thing? I mean, I assume you're not just cold sending out your resume to the Columbus Crew or something. Can you give us some insight into that?
Yeah, for sure. It's been an interesting career because a lot of it has been positioning myself at the right place at the right time. It hasn't been a set of steps in which they've been strategic. And sure, I've geared my career towards where I want it to be, which is where I am right now. But at the same time, a lot of it has been somewhat organic. I'll give you an example. When I was at Real Salt Lake, as I mentioned, we did it all. But my main silo, if you will, was the Hispanic market. My job was to convert the Hispanic fan base, the general soccer Hispanic fan base, into Real Salt Lake fans in Utah. And thanks to our work with the Hispanic community, we were able to establish a very strong fan base within the Hispanic demographic, to the point that one of the largest supporters group of Real Salt Lake is La Barra Brava, which I founded with some of my coworkers. Thanks to that success, and totally uncalled for or unsolicited, Columbus Crew one day called me and said, "Hey, we want to replicate what you did at Real Salt Lake in Columbus." And a week and 2 days later, I found myself looking for a house in Columbus, and literally in Columbus, working for the team. So again, a lot of the things have been organic, but that growth has been somewhat strategic, in a sense of I have manipulated to a sense of where I wanted to be. You know, consequently, at Columbus Crew, I was always very upfront, and one of my goals was to become a general manager or work in the soccer staff of the industry. So I worked very closely with Brian Bliss, who was then the technical director of Columbus Crew. And I worked very closely with him in a sense of I wanted him to mentor me and teach me what I needed to do to become a general manager. Through that process, I learned the ins and outs of player contract negotiation and dealing with agents, dealing with athletes themselves. And I found that there was a gap there that needed to be closed and an opportunity for me to become an agent and succeed in that space. So again, thanks to that organicness, I was able to identify myself as a soccer agent. So once again, it's been strategic, but it's also been very organic.
Yeah, no, and that's one thing that I think a lot of people listening could take to heart is, you know, sometimes maybe you might be excited and you get a job as some kind of a marketing person for a sports team, and you think, okay, I'm the marketing guy, and then you just, you used the word silo earlier on, you just focus so much on your job description, and you can be a great employee that way, you can get a lot done, but I think what people who kind of expand and grow in the sports industry do is they're doing their job, but then they're also kind of, you know, going above and beyond. They're doing other things, and that's how, you know, you get to know new people, and yeah, you notice you have some skills in a different area and stuff like that, and so that seems like something you've done in your career.
Yeah, and again, it takes a lot of passion, but a lot of self-awareness, right? I think that understanding what you're good at, but also what you love, and marrying those two will guide you to where you want to end up. When I speak with colleagues who are in this space specifically of representing athletes, not a lot of them woke up one day and said, "I want to become an agent and these are the steps I'm going to take." Everything seemed to have been very, very organic for them. The other thing too is that in the soccer side of our industry in the U.S. and North America, if you will, soccer is still very infant. So for us, I don't want to call ourselves pioneers, but we're definitely in somewhat of a pioneering stage of laying down the foundation for future generations of agents. We're now coming off of that pioneering stage into more of a mature stage. I mean, now the league is 20 plus years since 96 when it was established. You know, Pulisic just got signed for, I can't even remember how many millions of dollars. Alfonso Davis, same thing. So we're starting to see that now, that transition from that pioneering side to more of a sustained side. But again, all of it has been very, very organic.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, thanks for sharing that. I think that's really interesting. So let's move forward then now, and let's talk about what you're doing right now. So I imagine every day is different. You've got a lot of different things going on. But to just kind of give us an idea, what would a typical day look like for you?
Yeah, my specific job, because of the firm I'm with is always fluctuating, always changing. You know, one day we're dealing with an athlete and their contract or whatever part of their day-to-day that needs to be taken care of. Next day we're, you know, assisting a golf client or a hockey client or a basketball client. Or the following day we're assisting a consulting brand who was trying to reach their target demos through marketing initiatives. Because of my level of seniority, if you will, and I know that sounds somewhat arrogant, but I don't mean it to be. But because of where I am in my career and with this firm, my hands are in so many places and I touch so many things that it's difficult to say, yeah, my day-to-day is fully soccer and this is all I do, because I sustain and I support a team of many talented individuals within our firm that are touching other parts of the industry. When I think of my day-to-day, though, every day is completely different. And even if I were 100% focused on talent representation in soccer, it would still be very different, because you're dealing with humans. You're dealing with human interaction. And not every single human interaction is the same. To give you an example, one of our clients may be a 19-year-old kid who is playing professional soccer in Europe, and the very next day you're dealing with a 28-year-old who's got a family and kids and is playing, you know, in the United States. So because of that, not every day is similar. The one similarity that I do see is the passion and drive that I see from people that I work with. If it's a professional athlete or if it's a brand, all of us within this industry have this drive because of the nature of our industry, which is competition. So because of that, it makes it very edgy and very exciting.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm sure there's always a lot of stuff going on. So
for sure.
Okay, and then, you know, I think a lot of listeners will be familiar with agents. You know, maybe it's familiar through a movie like Jerry Maguire. Maybe, you know, maybe they read an article about the latest dispute between some guys or something. So, you know, with that baseline, how would you say the representation of soccer players differs from other types of agents that we might be familiar with?
You know, when you think of Jerry Maguire in that movie, I think that is the best picture that you can play in your mind as you're thinking of becoming an agent. That life is very similar in a sense of it's always exciting, it's always demanding. It always keeps you at the edge of your seat and wanting more and expecting more. So I actually think that picture of Jerry Maguire is the perfect picture when you think of agents. Now, having said that, and as I mentioned earlier, soccer is coming off of, in the United States at the very least, in Canada, it's coming off of its infancy. Best way to describe it is we're going into our teenage years, if you will. So we're experiencing a new trend of negotiations, a new trend of athletes wanting to go to Europe, for example, and what their contracts are looking like, and they're going out younger, and their development becomes a lot stronger. So does the competition. So we're starting to see a big difference there, and it's starting now to mirror to what soccer/football agents are experiencing all over the world, and that's exciting for the U.S. Now, when we think of try to compare ourselves with NFL or NBA agents, I mean, the major difference is that we're not dealing with millions and millions of dollars in contracts right now. And, you know, a lot of our athletes may be there, but it's not as large as it is for other agents who are in the NBA, NFL, and even Major League Baseball. So I think that's the biggest difference. But at the end of the day, you're still dealing with human interaction. You're still dealing with some who may be extravagant in who they are, some who are maybe more reserved, and therefore you have to learn how to deal with all of these type of personalities. The last thing I will say on that is the best skill that an agent can have is not negotiation, it's not understanding the space, but most importantly, understanding human interaction and psychology. Because a lot of the times, you know, for example, if you're representing a wide receiver, quarterback, or a striker in soccer, and they go through a drought, you're dealing with them mentally. You're trying to help them get out of that rut so they can continue to perform, therefore they can continue to make dollars for themselves and for you.
Yeah, no, that personal touch, I'm sure, comes into play a lot. You know, some, even in the types of athletes that you get to work with, I assume some athletes like a hard-nosed, tough guy, and some people want something different. You know, everybody, I that's one thing I see all the time. I get the calls from recruiters for me as a lawyer, and they'll reach out to me and be like, hey, I've got this job. And I'm like, oh, you know, I like my job fine. And I had one guy, and he's like, well, you're just an idiot if you don't take this job. He's like, this job is way better than your job. And I was like, I just thought, man, is this an effective sales pitch? I barely even know you. Right. This is like a 5-minute phone call, and you're insulting my intelligence. If it must work for somebody, but it definitely didn't work for me. So
yeah, for sure. And again, it's understanding how to deal with humans, because that's, I mean, you're essentially becoming a sports psychologist without the title of sports psychologist. Uh-huh. Sure, I'm not suggesting that every agent out there needs to have a degree in psychology to help their athletes overcome mental illness or mental obstacles, because that's not definitely what I'm saying. There are experts that study really hard in those specific subjects that can help athletes that we work with as partners. But when it comes to basic human interaction, you have to become an expert on to be able to become a successful agent.
And do you think that's something that people can develop over time, or do you think that's something you're just kind of born with?
In my experience, the successful agents I've met are those who are natural when it comes to human interaction. Those kind of people that when you talk to them make you feel like you're their best friend and you're the only important thing that matters to them at that point. However, I think that like any skill, from learning math to being able to change a tire, you can learn it and you can develop it. Social skills are some that can be developed. So I think it's something that can be developed. If you weren't born with it, I think that's something that you could strive to grow in and to become an expert. You know, a lot of people have always told me, oh, you're such a people pleaser. But you know, that's something that anyone can develop as long as you put your heart and mind into it.
Yeah, no, or you can probably lose it too, right? You can be a good, likable person, and then over time you get full of yourself or whatever as well. So.
Right, indeed, 100%. So, again, sure, that's a skill that people may think, well, you're born with, but I think it's something that can be developed. Something that cannot be developed is a passion for it. I think that you have to be born with the mentality of this is my passion, and this is what I'm willing to bust my butt to do day in, day out. And that when there's an 80-hour week, you don't look back and say that sucked. You look back and say that was awesome. And that's something that you kind of have to be born with. Sure, you could develop it, but being born with that passion helps a lot more than having to force yourself to like it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Okay, well, one consistent theme in talking with different agents for this podcast, and you know, just in my life, that I've seen is it's important to be able to be an agent. You're going to have to be able to get clients, and you know, that might happen because you know your parents were athletes and you're already in that world, or you worked in sports or whatever. You know, how have you built up your network, and kind of how do you stay in touch with each, you know, year of new athletes and things like that?
I've always said that my network is my net worth, and I truly believe that. And that is the reason why I take care of my network so much and become such a priority for me. Because without that, I would literally have no place to send my athletes, or even no ability to gain new athletes, new clients. So to answer your question directly, I think that, and this is what I tell everyone who tells me they want to become an agent is get into the industry as fast as you can and as early as you can. I don't care if you're selling tickets for the AAA baseball team in your neighborhood. Just get into the industry, because that is the only way that you could start building that network. Like myself, I started as an intern. Thanks to that internship and thanks to building that network, I was able to get a job at Real Salt Lake. Thanks to my work there, I was able to acquire my very first client, who years later, after I became an agent, I said, hey, I'm an agent now. Do you want me to represent you? He said, yes, love to do it. I'd love to partner up with you. Again, it's because of that network and the ability to be able to get into the industry early. Reality is, when I was at Real Salt Lake, I was just a Hispanic marketing guy, and he was a very young athlete. Fast forward, 10 years later, and here we are now working together. So again, the earlier that you can get into building that network and into the industry, the better your chances are. Reality is, anybody can do it. I'm an immigrant from Colombia. I had I didn't know anybody here, especially in the sports industry. But because I got into it early enough, I was able to build that network from a very early age, if you will, to the point of where I am now.
Yeah, no, and that's for sure. I think a lot of people think, I like sports. Sports are cool. I'll work in sports someday. But if it really is a passion, you gotta find a way to get involved early on, because that's really where a lot of this comes into play.
For sure, I can tell you of a handful of colleagues who are agents within soccer who have all started either selling tickets or interns or doing something within their local sports teams, and now they're very successful agents representing very top talent in the U.S. and the world.
Yeah, and I guess with your athletes, where do you even where do you start? Because soccer is played all over the world. And you can't be looking at every athlete everywhere. I mean, do you work mostly in the United States? How does that work?
Yeah, so how it works is that we start domestically. When it comes to recruiting clients, we start domestically. We have, I have no capacity to be able to go recruit an athlete that plays in India or that plays in Colombia or that plays in the UK. I just don't have the bandwidth. So it makes more sense for our firm and almost every single firm here in the U.S. to recruit domestically. We have the ability to go east, west, or whatever it may be to watch these athletes. Now, just because we're recruiting domestically doesn't mean that we can't sell them internationally. There's been many clients who we've recruited here in the U.S. and we've sent overseas to play. But yes, I think that starting domestically is the smartest thing you can do. And that's the reason why you see so many agencies having either satellite offices or partner agencies in other countries, because that's the best way to recruit is when to recruit in your backyard.
Okay.
But when it comes to selling and moving these players, with globalization of soccer, you can move a player anywhere.
Yeah, no, and that's probably good for the agents, right, to have a bigger market and other options to go to.
Right, exactly. It broadens our buyer force, if you will, and our ability to place these athletes in various parts of the world.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, yeah, we're kind of coming up on our time here, so is there anything else you've been wanting to get off your chest that you want to talk about?
No, the one thing that I do highly recommend to everyone who is interested in getting into the sports representation side of the industry is to either take a course or to identify a way to learn more the ins and outs of the industry. As I mentioned earlier, establishing your network is the very first step. The second step is to learn. I'm not a lawyer, and I never went to I never attained a sports degree myself. But I think that understanding the ins and outs of that specific side of the industry can help you. And in my experience, because I was not a lawyer and because I didn't have that sports law background, I committed myself to learning otherwise, and I took several courses that helped me get to that point. One that I'd recommend, I think I mentioned to you when we first spoke, was Pro Agent Academy. who teach you on a 6-week course on how to become an agent. It's actually taught by a very, very good friend of mine who played in the league for a very long time and has a sports law degree. His name is Daniel Woolard. And again, it teaches you the basis that you need, because reality is, it's such a complex world. There's so many rules and regulations. And you're talking about specifically for soccer and FIFA. You're talking about FIFA regulations, and you dive it down to confederation regulations, then association regulations, then the local league regulations. So there's so many layers and laws and things that you need to learn and know like the back of your hand, and you're not going to be able to do that unless you have an expert teaching you about it. So I guess that's the last thing I would highly recommend to anyone that is interested in diving into this world.
Yeah, no, never hurts to learn, no matter where you are. You know, I
agree.
No matter how smart you are, the world's changing, so there's always stuff to learn anyway.
For sure. And there's always new litigations and new cases being brought to the table, and the more you can learn by other people's mistakes, the better you're going to become.
Okay, well, yeah, no, thanks a lot for making time for this podcast. I think it's been really interesting and informative for people who want to get into this industry, because there's definitely a lot of competition, as I'm sure you're aware, but it can be really rewarding too, both financially and sounds like from a lifestyle perspective as well. So you seem
for
like
sure.
A pretty happy guy to me.
Yeah, no, listen, I always tell my kids I haven't worked a day in my life, and they make fun of me, but it's 100% the truth. And aside from the financial benefits of it, I think the emotional benefits of being able to get paid to do what you love, it's something pretty cool, and not too many people can get to say that. So good luck with the podcast, and good luck to everyone listening as they dive into this industry, and hope to compete with you guys again soon.
Okay, well, yeah, thanks for joining us on the Sports Law Biz Podcast. This has been an episode of the Sports Law Biz Podcast. This podcast is available through the Sports Law Biz website or through iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Before wrapping things up, I'd like to thank some people. First of all, I'd like to thank my friend, Lieb Montoya, for designing the Sports Law Biz podcast logo as well as the Sports Law Biz blog logo. His artistic ability certainly surpasses mine. If interested, you can check out more of Lieb's work on Instagram and Twitter. His handle is @LiebMontoya in both places. That's @LIB Montoya. Additionally, I'd like to thank the musical artist for providing this theme music that you're listening to right now. The artist is a band called The Losers. The album is entitled Young, Tough, Terrible. The track is Sports with an exclamation point. The label is Needle Drop Co. This music is available through a Creative Commons license of Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 Unported. This podcast was produced and recorded by myself, Peter Ott, and you can reach me at my personal Twitter handle, @PeterJOTT, through the Sports Law Biz Twitter handle, @SportsLawBiz, or through email at sportslawbizblog@gmail.com. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. If you are interested in contributing to either the Sports Law Biz blog or podcast, definitely reach out to me. I love to talk to people about these issues, and I know I can use all the help I can get. Finally, I'd like to thank you for listening to this podcast. Hopefully it was enjoyable. If so, please spread the word and let your friends and colleagues know about it. Leave a review on iTunes. Any way you can spread the news about this podcast would be greatly appreciated. That's our episode today. Tune in next time to learn more about the law and business of sports. I'm looking forward to discussing it with you on the Sports Law Biz Podcast.